Today we turn our attention to the text of the Sanctus, and we will begin by singing hymn 320, verse 1. Perhaps you have seen this story. The bride appears. Her orange blossom has vanished, and she is covered in blood. She had no right to be there. Two men were dead in the forest because of her. Death had come to this house because of her. Yet something drew her into this place where she did not belong. She deserved death. She even longed for death. She was burdened with a load of guilt, covered in the blood of sinful lust and the blood of an innocent victim. She came face to face with the one who had every right to demand her life as a just payment for the blood of those two sons of Adam. We have no right to be here. We have no right to know God. Like the bride in the play, and like Isaiah the prophet, we have been drawn into a place where we don't belong. Isaiah the sinner was carried into the throne room of God. There, surrounded by angels and archangels, the cherubim and seraphim, face to face with the absolute holy justice and perfection of God, I too should say, woe is me, I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Hymn 40, verse 1. The Sanctus, the hymn sung by the angels to God the thrice holy, has an unchanging place in the ordinary texts of our liturgy. It is placed in close connection to the sacrament of the altar, and this placement is no accident. Isaiah should have died in the presence of holiness, but God, the perfect, the just, the mighty Lord of the legions of heaven, is also the all-merciful. He sends an angel to the prophet with a live coal, and the holiness of that coal purifies the lips and the thoughts and the vocation of the prophet. In the Holy Communion, God touches our lips with the white heat holiness of his body and blood. This should frighten us. The thought should drive us out of his house. But he is also the one that we know as the saving Lord. When we have called Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy, he has listened. When we call Hosanna, save us, Lord, he comes with salvation from the heights of his holiness. Why? Because he is holy love. Because he wants us to be in his presence today and forever. We sing now the Sanctus on page 76. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Holiness is hidden in humility. Once he came as a baby in a manger. Once he came on a scrawny little donkey. Still he comes. Paper and ink, water, bread and wine, the human voice. These are his means, and we rejoice that we can grasp them. We can take his holiness and make it our own. How our minds rebel at this. How can this be? God is awesome in majesty. He is worthy of praise. Heaven and earth are full of his glory. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. But he veils that for us. He is sacrament. He is word. He is born. He dies for us men and for our salvation. We are sinners. We are covered in the blood of Abel. Our hands are stained with the sins of all of Adam's sons and brothers. But all the sins of our conception and our actions and our thoughts and even our presumed innocence and self-righteousness are mingled with his greater blood. as it flows down into the earth from his holy wounds, as it flows into our mouths and minds and hearts, we are continually transfused into the beings that we were meant to be at the dawn of creation. We learn to yearn for the dawning of a new day beyond death and darkness, when the day of his resurrection will be perfected in our own bodily resurrection. This is the stuff of living. When death comes begging at our door, attempting to steal a morsel or two of our heavenly assurance, to make us afraid, or to doubt, or to worry, then God comes again from his mighty throne room as the lion-hearted victor over death, to fill our hearts with the peace of the blood and the nourishment of the blood, even to life everlasting. Hymn 320, verses 6 and 8, please stand. Let us pray. Most gracious Lord, you bid me to approach your altar in confidence and hope. Come, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. O sweet and friendly word in a sinner's ear, that you, Lord God, invite the needy and the poor to the communion of your body and blood. You, the Lord of the universe, have willed to come to me, a poor and lowly sinner, to live in me. Of your infinite grace, you have made me your own dwelling place for your glory and my eternal salvation. Grant me grace at all times and in all places to give you hearty thanks for this marvelous gift. O Christ, Lamb of God, grant me your eternal peace. Amen. Depart in that peace.